For 35 years on the stage and on PBS, the Capital Steps comedy troupe have been skewering contemporary politics with skits and song parodies. With 2016 being an election year, there has been plenty for the group to make fun of. Current State's Jamie Paisley spoke with Mark Eaton, co-author of this year's Capital Steps, ahead of a two mid-Michigan appearances this weekend. The first is in Whiting, is at the Whiting in Flint, Sunday, October 2, followed by a Lansing Symphony Benefit performance on Monday, October 3. As ever, there is plenty of music from the American Songbook, including Hotel California, that classic song from the Eagles, but moved just one state to the east.
Welcome to the state of Arizona. Have your papers, please, or you'll have to leave. There isn't much room in the state of Arizona if you're darker than George Hamilton.
Mark Eaton, as co-author, do you kind of take current events and bring them into the new shows as they go on? For example, Monday night was the debate that happened, the first presidential debate between Trump and Clinton. Do you incorporate those that quickly into the segments?
Well, we try to. You know, if there's something, if there's some kind of breaking news, we certainly want to get it into the show as soon as possible. Now, we have had our version of a Trump-Clinton debate in the show for, you know, almost a month or so now, once they became the finals. So I don't think there was anything necessarily earth-shattering in last night's debate, other than maybe Donald sniffling more than folks thought he would. But, you know, if something happens, we try to get it into the show as soon as we can.
Where does the name The Capital Steps come from?
Well, the Capital Steps name actually comes from a famous scandal that happened back in the early 80s when Congressman Jenrette and his wife boasted that they had made whoopee on the Capitol steps.
That's an interesting little side note. You yourself, you've been with the group since 93 after being a lobbyist for about a decade, is that about right? You're working with lobbyists.
Well, I worked on the Hill for about a decade, and then I did do some lobbying for a few years, and then I lost my mind and started doing this full-time in 1999.
How many full-time people are part of the Capital Steps?
You know, at this point, pretty much everybody is full-time. We do have one woman who still works on the Hill and subs in occasionally as a part-time cast member. But at this point, with as many shows we're doing, especially in an election season, we really have to be able to travel at the drop of a hat. So pretty much everybody is full-time at this point.
Do you ever notice, as you take the show, the review to different places, is there a difference between the Beltway audience in Washington as opposed to the other kind of venues that you perform in?
Well, I think we're very conscious about making it you don't have to be a political junkie necessarily to get everything. I mean, in the early days of us, you know, we thought it would be hilarious to write a song that only people who are familiar with some subcommittee would even understand. But we use much broader strokes now because we want people inside the Beltway to enjoy it as much as folks in Flint, Lansing, Peoria, Seattle, wherever we go.
Let me explain my views. They all shut up and vote for me. The White House is my destiny. You ask why you shut up and vote for me. You want details of my plans. The great new jobs, beat the odds and stop Iran.
Do you ever have audience that come up to you afterwards, or maybe even somebody that you're lampooning in the show come up to you that's seen it and say maybe that was a step too far, or is it they kind of understood that it's all in good fun?
Well, you know, I think that's part of it. I mean, unless you just have no idea what we are and you just show up, and you are a huge fan of, you know, whoever. We've had people come up and say, oh, I don't think it's very nice of you to pick on the president like that. And our kind of response is, well, you know, one, what did you think you were coming to see in a political show? But two, boy, isn't it great we live in a country where we can do that and not end up in jail.
You mentioned a while ago that you tend to be busier, certainly during election years. Does that, conversely, is it easier then to write during election years? Because this is an annual sort of review.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we get the four-year trend, and actually the most fun is kind of in the primary season because you typically have so many characters. I mean, Republicans, of course, had way too many characters, and the Democrats were not exactly loaded up this year, but just to give us, you know, Bernie on the national stage was a good source of material. But, you know, you get to the point that the show, you know, this month or, you know, whatever we are, 6 weeks away from the elections, you know, it's kind of a self-perpetuating at this point. I mean, it's just moving along. And like I say, unless there is some kind of earth-shattering story that breaks, the show pretty much stays the way it is at this point.
Now, this weekend, Capital Steps will be appearing both in Flint, Michigan, as well as in Lansing on Monday coming up. How many different kind of touring troupes are there of Capital Steps?
Well, we're a mix-and-match bunch, and we have the ability to be in four places at once if we need to be, which this time of year we pretty much are always in four places at once. So, yeah, that cast that's heading up there will probably be out for, you know, maybe 10 days or so. And then they'll come back, and we'll see if we can shuffle anybody around. But, you know, it's our travel guy is a miracle worker this time of year, getting everybody to where they need to be.
I'm not indicted. I'm so excited. County and the GOP can all go and fight it.
I have decided you were misguided.
I hope this email miscue is now proof.
Let's talk through some of the songs. How do you then approach a song for the Capital Steps, some of the ones that are coming up?
Well, you know, there's not really a tried and true method. You know, we obviously search through, like, the Great American Songbook and Broadway shows to kind of get, hopefully, songs that most people know. Vast majority of the audience certainly hopefully will know them, because that's what makes a song parody kind of fun, when you kind of know the song and you're anticipating maybe what's coming up, or guessing maybe what the cover is and things like that. Occasionally we try to break out something a little newer, maybe a pop song, but you know, pop songs, there's not a whole lot of universal pop songs that, you know, people from 20 to 60 or 70 know these days. You know, the Macarena might have been the last great pop song. But, you know, sometimes you're driving in the car, you hear a song come on, it sparks an idea. Other times, just something in the way an article is written or a news story sparks an idea. And then other times you think, oh, there's something out there, I've really got it, we need to do something on this. And you maybe search through the rhyming dictionary for a while and then see if you can match that up with any tunes that's rambling in your brain. So lots of different ways that the songs come into place.
Do you ever have to deal with rights clearances for the songs that you're parodying? That's, you know, because rights clearances are certainly something that are trending for the past half decade or so.
Yeah, I know we're fortunate in the way that parody laws have been ruled on, that we don't have to get law. And part of it's because sometimes it could take you years to get the rights to a song. You know, if I'm just a recording artist and I want to record somebody's tune, it could take a while. Whereas they understand that parody, you know, has to be very quick and timely. So, yeah, the courts have been kind to parody writers.
It seems like there's a big kind of pressure to also make sure that you're equal opportunity offending, and I think there's a good example of that in the Melanie song that you, Melanie Sofka, that song.
Yeah, I mean, it is something we're conscious of, because you know, nobody wants to go and everybody's willing to laugh at their own person, but they also don't want to be, you know, browbeaten and just feel like that 90% of the jokes are at their expense and hardly anything across the aisle. But, you know, the Melody song, Brand New Pair of Roller Skates, which we changed into Brand New Pair of Candidates, I think it probably pretty much encapsulates a lot of people's opinion on this election.
Doubly so after the debate as well.
Let's forget. We've got. I wouldn't vote for Trump or Clinton for a school mascot. I've been watching the race a while. I don't like what I see. Oh, find me a brand new pair of candidates. Someone like Tom Brady.
We've been speaking with Mark Eaton, the co-author of this year's and for several past years, the Capital Steps Review, kind of that review of songs and skits lampooning the current political climate here in the United States. More information about the performances coming up this Sunday, October 2nd, at the Whiting in Flint. More information at thewhiting.com, as well as Monday's rather shortened performance, Monday, October 3rd, part of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra benefit called the Lansing Town Hall, the 63rd Celebrity Lecture Series. More information about that Monday performance with the Capital Steps Review at lansingsymphony.org. Mark Eaton, co-author of The Capital Steps, thanks very much for joining us here on Current State.
Hey, thanks much.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.